New Services Division of Akashwani presents Northeast Diary.
Good evening and a warm welcome to another episode of Northeast Diary, your window into the vibrant cultures, inspiring stories and unfolding events from the eight jewels of India's Northeast. I'm Vinita Thakur. And in today's episode, we take you on an audio journey exploring the concept of the Meghalayan age. We also bring you reports on the Story Festival, the second Golpo Utsav held in Agartala, and the ninth Northeast Youth Festival held in Nagaland. But first, let's head to Fake District in Nagaland, where a quiet agricultural revolution is taking root, led entirely by women. In Chizami village, over 200 traditional seed varieties are being preserved, safeguarding not only crops but also culture, climate resilience and food security. Even Prime Minister Narendra Modi recently highlighted their efforts in his Mann Ki Baat program. Our Kohima correspondent Asuno brings you this story.
Nestled in the hills of Nagaland, the women of Chizami village in Phek district are safeguarding a rich agricultural heritage. At the Chizami Community Seed Bank, managed by the Chizami Women's Society with support from the Northeast Network, over 200 traditional seed varieties are carefully preserved. From vibrant rice strain to hardy millets and colorful maize, each seed tells a story of resilience. Prime Minister Narendra Modi, in his recent Mann Ki Baat address, praised the women of Chizami for strengthening food security and preserving indigenous knowledge.
Nagaland ke Chizami gaon se bhi ek bahut prerak prayas samne aaya hai. Chizami gaon ki mahilaye milkar 150 se adhik variety ke paramparik bijon ko surakshit rakh rahi hai. In bijon ko ek community seed bank mein samrakshit kiya ja raha hai. जिसे गांव की महिलाएं ही चलाती हैं। इनमें चावल, बाजरा, मक्का, दालें, सब्जियां और कई तरह की जड़ी बूटियां शामिल है। यह एक ऐसा प्रयास है जिसमें ज्ञान भी सुरक्षित है, परंपरा भी जीवित है और आने वाली पीढ़ियों के लिए एक मजबूत आधार भी तैयार हो रहा है। साथियों, आज जब दुनिया जलवायु परिवर्तन जैसी चुनौतियों का सामना कर रही है, तब ऐसे प्रयास हमें यह बताते हैं कि समाधान हमेशा कहीं दूर नहीं होता। कई बार हमारे अपने पारंपरिक ज्ञान और सामुदायिक प्रयास ही हमें सबसे मजबूत रास्ता दिखाते हैं।
Mrs. Kizinipur Tsaha, chairperson of the Chizami Women's Society, shared that it was a proud moment for the community, especially the women, to be mentioned on a national platform like Mann Ki Baat.
When I heard the Prime Minister mention our effort on a national platform like Mann Ki Baat, I feel deeply honored and encouraged. It was a proud moment for our community, especially our women who have worked tirelessly over the years. When our small community initiative, which began with local concerns and grassroots effort, was organized at such a high national level, it validated our hard work, dedication, and unity of the women in our society. Beyond recognition, I also felt hopeful that such visibility can influence larger change. This recognition means a lot to our community as it reassures that the work we are doing to preserve traditional seeds and protect our biodiversity is important, not just locally, but nationally as well. At the same time, it also highlights the needs for stronger institutional support, such as access to land and forest resources, financial assistance, infrastructure support, and technical guidance. When women are recognized and supported in these ways, our efforts become more sustainable and impactful, not just for our community, but also for wider communities as well.
Launched in 2018, the initiative has grown into a strong example of community-led conservation. To ensure the seed bank remains active and well-managed, three members of the Women's Society Executive have been assigned primary responsibility with additional support from others. Currently, the seed bank preserves around 200 varieties of traditional crops, including diverse types of rice, millets, pulses, and vegetables. These crops are not only climate resilient and nutritious, but also hold deep cultural significance for the community.
Today, we maintain a variety of traditional crops, including different types of rice, millets, pulses, and vegetables, with a total of around 200 different varieties. These seeds are important because they are climate resilient, nutritious, and also deeply connected to our cultural identity, ensuring that we remain self-reliant and less dependent on external sources.
Seeds at the community bank are stored using traditional methods such as sun-drying, natural herbs and eco-friendly pest control. The system is simple but powerful. Borrowed 1 cup of seeds and returned 2 after harvest. The women's group now aims to strengthen the seed bank's infrastructure while engaging you to carry forward traditional knowledge.
Going forward, we would like to work on enhancing the infrastructure and storage facilities of the community seed bank. We also want to involve more younger people so that traditional knowledge is passed on effectively up by the younger generations. My message to other communities across the country is to recognize the value of our traditional knowledge and resources and conserve traditional seeds, because seeds are life for the farming communities. Even small effort can lead to meaningful change when people come together with a shared purpose. Preserving and protecting our seed is not just about agriculture, but it is also about preserving our identity, ensuring food security, and building resilience for future generations. Thank you.
In the world facing climate uncertainty, the women of Chisami are proving that the future of food may well lie in the wisdom of the past. For Northeast Diary, this is Asanyo from Kohima.
Tripura's healthcare sector is witnessing a positive transformation with a new 200-bed maternal and child care facility coming up in Agartala with central support.
Continuous construction, development and modernization of healthcare infrastructure are bringing Tripura closer to the standards of advanced systems across the country. The path toward a self-reliant and healthy Tripura is becoming smoother. A major milestone in this journey is the upcoming 200-bed multi-speciality maternal and child healthcare facility being developed with support from the Ministry of Donor. Under one roof, this facility will offer state-of-the-art services, ensuring comprehensive care and security for mothers and children with the blessings of PM Divine Scheme. This was shared by the Deputy Medical Superintendent of Agartala Government Medical College and GBP Hospital, Dr. Kanak Choudhury.
Agartala Government Medical College is very happy to share with you that PM Divine Scheme is going to establish a 200-bedded MCH maternal and child health wing in the campus of the AGMC and GBP Hospital. Few days back, Donor Minister Sri Jyotiraditya Sindhya and the Chief Minister of Tripura, along with the Health Secretary, has visited this new campus. This huge structure, 7-floor building, will take around 212 crore rupees. It will help our maternal health and child health in a very beautiful manner. We will have our administrative block, multipurpose hall, kitchen, pantry, whatnot. The NICU, PICU, along with that, the septic ward and state-of-art IVF clinic, IVF OPD and pay cabin will be inside this campus. So both the ops and gynecology department along with the pediatric department will have these facilities for the state of Tripura and its people under one roof. So we are very happy and eagerly waiting when it will have the facilities to serve our people.
This initiative stands as a significant step toward providing the people of the state with a reliable destination for advanced maternal and child health care. It also reflects the government's sincere efforts to establish Tripura as a healthcare hub. The addition of this new facility at Agartala Government Medical College and GBB Hospital is expected to soon fulfill the long-awaited needs of both healthcare providers and beneficiaries alike. For Northeast Diary, Shuman Bhattacharji, Akashvani, Agartala.
The vibrant spirit of Northeast India came alive at the 9th Northeast Youth Festival, a grand celebration of talent, culture, and unity among the region's youth, with the theme Ashta Lakshmi, celebrating 8 forces of youth and progress. The 5-day festival, hosted by the Department of Youth Resources and Sports, Government of Nagaland, began on 17th March at the Chumakedima Football Stadium and concluded on 21st March. Here is a report from our Kohima correspondent, Asuno.
Bringing together nearly 1,200 participants, the festival saw enthusiastic representation from Arunachal Pradesh, Assam, Manipur, Meghalaya, Mizoram, Nagaland, Sikkim and Tripura. Youth from My Bharat and the National Service Scheme also joined from across the country, creating a vibrant platform to showcase creativity, skills and cultural heritage. Organized by the Ministry of Youth Affairs and Sports, Government of India, under the National Adolescents and Youth Development Programme, the event highlighted the strength and unity of young people across regions. Nagaland Governor Nand Kishore Yadav inaugurated the festival and called upon the youth to become ambassadors of their states and the region, promoting respect, cooperation and mutual understanding.
I encourage you, you are successfully in this experience, to participate actively and support one another. And India moves towards the vision of Viksit Bharat 2047, the role of youth becomes even more significant. Your energy, ideas, and talent are the driving forces behind innovation, progress, and development. Every initiative you want to take, every act of service, and every creative expression continues to humble the image of the North.
Adding to the festival's identity, the great hornbill was chosen as the official mascot. Revered among Naga tribes as a symbol of honor and grandeur, the hornbill represents strength, vitality, and cultural pride. Just as Ashta Lakshmi signifies each forms of prosperity and empowerment, the hornbill reflects the dynamic spirit of youth, courage, resilience, leadership, creativity, unity, confidence, growth, and a vision for the future. Participants shared their excitement about connecting with peers from different states and exchanging cultures and ideas.
हेलो मेरा नाम है बोया देव वर्मा और मैं त्रिपुरा से हूँ और यहाँ पर आके बहुत अच्छा लगा कि बहुत लोग बहुत इंजॉय करने की भी बहुत जगह मिला और जगह जगह क्या इतना जगह अच्छा है इतना स्टेट अच्छा है आई लव यू माय नागालैंड सिस्टर एंड ब्रदर थैंक यू
जय हिंद आई एम फ्रॉम गुजरात मैसेल्फ सुथार्थ एंड लिटरली यहाँ पे बहुत अच्छा है लाइक एवरीथिंग इज ग्रीन ग्रीन यहाँ के लोग यहाँ का खाना मतलब आई एम स्पेशली वेजिटेरियन एंड जितना भी दिया बहुत अच्छा है एक्चुअली रहने की जगह अरेंजमेंट बहुत अच्छा है एवरीथिंग इज लुकिंग लाइक अ वाओ ओके यहाँ पे हमने कल्चरल शो देखे कल्चरल एक्सचेंज एंड एवरीथिंग तो बहुत अच्छा लगा हमें यहाँ पे आके एंड थैंक यू सेवन सिस्टर एंड वन ब्रदर टीम थैंक यू फॉर नागालैंड फॉर दिस अमेजिंग एक्सपीरियंस थैंक यू
At the closing ceremony, Nagaland's Minister for Higher Education and Tourism, Temujin Imna Along, reaffirmed that the region stands united with the rest of the country in the journey towards a developed India.
We want to find a good group in our Bharat, in our Northeast, in our Nagaland.
From traditional dances and folk songs to modern music and art competitions, the festival beautifully reflected the diversity and unity of the Northeast, while also encouraging young minds to express themselves and build confidence. As the curtain falls on the 9th Northeast Youth Festival, it leaves behind memories of joy, friendship and cultural pride, reminding us that the youth of today are the torchbearers of a brighter and more united tomorrow. For Northeast Diary, Asanya from Kohima.
Just as proper food nourishes the body, the mind too needs nourishment, elements that spark thought and imagination. With this idea, the storyteller's platform, Akhyaner Bikhel, in Agartala organized the second Golpotsav, a story festival creating a day-long space where the mind could feast on stories. Here is a report from our Agartala correspondent, Suman Bhattacharji.
Just as our bodies need a balanced diet, rich in proteins, vitamins, carbohydrates and healthy fats to stay strong, our minds thrive on the nourishment of culture and literature. Among these mental nutrients, storytelling holds a special place. Akhyaner Bikhel, one of the state's prominent literary platforms, have been enriching the world of prose over the past few years, especially nurturing the lesser-known corners of Bengali literature. This year, the Golpotsav Story Festival celebrated its second edition, a colorful harvest of literary efforts. Professor Pratyush Dev, one of the organizers and a renowned literary scholar, shared his thoughts on the occasion.
The second phase of Golpotsav of Akhyaner Bikhel was held in Agartala on March 22. Renowned story writers and avid readers from the state of Tripura, West Bengal and Assam participated in this festival. Throughout the day, from morning to evening, this event featured various competitions and discussion sessions.
A key to the richness of storytelling is, of course, good stories. Stories that speak of life, human emotions, joys, sorrows, and everyday experiences have always inspired society, whether through the works of Bankim Chandra Chattopadhyay, Rabindranath Tagore, Sharat Chandra Chattopadhyay, Vibhuti Bhushan Bandyopadhyay, or Manik Bandyopadhyay. Today, contemporary writers continue this tradition, reflecting society's evolution through their narratives. At the festival, these stories came alive, resonating with the voices of the storytellers themselves, said one story writer of younger generation, Hamari Jamatia.
In this program, different types of stories were narrated. A panel discussion and a seminar on the theme Golpotsav was conducted very successfully. In this occasion, the Prabha Ranjan Dev Smriti Purushkar was given away to an eminent story writer. The program was a very enlightening one. I have been deeply enriched through this program. I participated in this program as a story writer and my experience has been really overwhelming.
To truly appreciate the writer's creativity, an attentive and thoughtful reader is indispensable. For this reason, the festival also created special spaces for readers, inviting them to engage with stories and share their reflections.
विभिन्न प्रकार की कहानियां सुनाई गई, एक पैनल चर्चा भी हुई और गल्पोत्सव के विषय पर एक सेमिनार का भी सफलतापूर्वक आयोजन किया गया. साथ ही इस अवसर पर एक चित्रकला प्रतियोगिता और एक कहानी लेखन प्रतियोगिता का भी आयोजन हुआ. मुझे इस कार्यक्रम में दर्शक के रूप में भाग लेने का सौभाग्य प्राप्त हुआ.
In this way, Akhyaner Bikhel, whether living life through stories or stories through life, opened up a vibrant literary space, bringing everyone together for a truly unique and unforgettable experience with the arrangement of second Golpotsav. For Northeast Diary, Suman Bhattacharji, Akashvani, Agartala.
Census 2027 has commenced in Sikkim with the launch of its first phase focusing on digital self-enumeration, marking a significant step towards a modern and participatory data collection process.
The Ministry of Home Affairs, in collaboration with the Directorate of Census Operation Sikkim, launched the first phase at Lok Bhavan yesterday. Governor Om Prakash Mathur attended the program. Addressing the gathering, the governor stated that Census 2027 is the 16th census of India and the 8th since independence with the last census conducted in 2011.
आज का दिन सिक्किम और संपूर्ण भारत के लिए एक ऐतिहासिक क्षण है. आज जनगणना 2027 का शुभारंभ हो रहा है. ये देश की 16वीं जनगणना और स्वतंत्र भारत की 8वीं जनगणना है.
He informed that the exercise will be carried out in two phases, beginning with digital self-enumeration and housing census, followed by population enumeration.
इस बार जनगणना 2027 दो चरणों में आयोजित होगी. प्रथम चरण स्वयं जनगणना 1 अप्रैल 16 अप्रैल 2026 तक हो रही है, जिसमें नागरिक डिजिटल माध्यम से स्वयं पंजीकरण करेंगे. इसके बाद गृह सूचीकरण एवं आवास जनगणना 16 अप्रैल से 15 मई 2026 तक होगी, जिसमें घर घर जाकर आंकड़े संकलित करेंगे. दूसरा चरण जनसंख्या गणना का फरवरी 2027 में होगी, जिसमें प्रत्येक व्यक्ति की विस्तृत जानकारी एकत्र की जाएगी. आज हम एक ऐसे महत्वपूर्ण अभियान का हिस्सा बन रहे हैं.
He emphasized that the digital mode will enhance efficiency, reduce paperwork and strengthen public participation.
जनगणना पहली बार डिजिटल माध्यम से हो रही है और ये एक क्रांतिकारी परिवर्तन है. डिजिटल माध्यम से के उपयोग से इस प्रक्रिया में और अधिक गति और दक्षता सुनिश्चित होगी. साथ ही कागज के उपयोग में कमी और पर्यावरण संरक्षण को भी बढ़ावा मिलेगा. सबसे महत्वपूर्ण बात यह है कि ये पहल नागरिक सशक्तिकरण का एक सशक्त माध्यम है. अब प्रत्येक नागरिक स्वयं अपनी जानकारी दर्ज कर इस राष्ट्रीय अभियान में सक्रिय भागीदार बन सकता है. इस बार डिजिटल माध्यम से जनगणना करना केंद्र सरकार के डिजिटल भारत संकल्प को और मजबूत कर रहा है और ये डिजिटल इंडिया विजन का प्रेरणादायक उदाहरण है.
He added that census data is crucial for policy planning and development, particularly in remote and border area of Sikkim. Earlier, Director Karma Bonpo highlighted the importance of public cooperation and digital participation.
The importance of participation, accuracy and responsibility in the census process. This exemplary gesture will undoubtedly inspire confidence and encourage widespread public engagement. The census, as we know, is the backbone of informed governance. It provides critical data that guides planning, strengthens service delivery, and ensures the development efforts are inclusive and equitable. The introduction of self-enumeration marks a progressive step towards greater convenience, transparency, and citizen participation in this exercise. The role of accurate and comprehensive data becomes even more vital. Census 2027 will enable us to better understand our demographic profile and plan effectively for the future.
Home Secretary and Census State Nodal Officer Tenzing T. Kalon outlined the roadmap for the upcoming exercise.
The first phase of the state-level coordination meeting under the guidance and direction of the Chief Secretary has already been held, wherein matters relating to the collection of information from the citizens, reliable, accurate and complete information that was stressed upon, and the Chief Secretary as well as the Union Home Secretary has especially made an appeal to all the citizens to actively participate in the upcoming census and give complete and accurate, correct information to the enumerators who will be coming to their houses to enumerate the data. So, as the director has already pointed out, that we have the option of self-enumeration, which will be done from the 1st of April to the 15th of April, the 15-day window period. I would urge all the citizens of the state to take advantage of this opportunity and self-enumerate so that time is saved for at your end as well as at the enumerator's end. Most of the, especially in the urban areas, most of the households have employees who go out, be it in the government sector or in the public sector, in the private sector. When the enumerators come to the households, usually as per the past experience, enumerators do not get hold of the persons who they are supposed to enumerate, because the persons, citizens are out doing their daily work. So when you do a self-enumeration, 15-digit self-enumeration ID will be generated when you do a self-enumeration. So once the enumerator comes to your household, then the task of doing a data entry is already over. So the enumerator will just validate and re-verify what has been uploaded by the citizens themselves. The time will be saved because the data entry has already been, the enumerator just has to verify and validate the data. The other point I would like to highlight is all these data, digitally recorded data, are, as the director pointed out, is digitally secured, and the issue of privacy of data is also looked into by the Census Act of 1948 as well as the GPDP Act, that is the Digital Personal Data Protection Act. So all the legal provisions are there to ensure that the security and privacy of the census data that is being collected is safe and secure. So the citizens need not worry.
With Census 2027 underway, citizens are encouraged to actively participate in self-enumeration and contribute to build an accurate database for inclusive growth and effective governance. Diliram Dulal, Akashwani News, Gangtok for Northeast Diary.
Geologists have classified the past 4,200 years as the Meghalayan Age. The most recent unit of the geologic time scale in Earth's 4.6 billion year history. This age is named after the northeast Indian state of Meghalaya, where the stalagmite that defines this era was discovered. Let's learn more about the Meghalayan Age.
Welcome to the new age. You've been living in it this whole time. The northeastern state of India, Meghalaya, will be remembered for a long time in geological history. The last 4,200 years on Earth are being classified as a new age, and geologists are calling it as a Meghalayan age, the latest distinct geologic stage in the 4.6 billion year history of the Earth. The Meghalayan age has been marked by the onset of a mega drought that destroyed a number of civilizations around the world. Such ages divide the Earth's existence into multiple slices of time, and each slice of time corresponds to important events such as the breaking up of continents, dramatic shifts in climate, and the emergence of particular types of animals and plant life. In order to classify a geological period, geologists examine various aspects such as sedimentary deposits, ice cores, and deposits below the sea floor for clues regarding the occurrence of dramatic changes on Earth. These changes should reflect explicitly and should be global in its extent. In the case of Meghalayan classification, this change was indicated in a stalagmite cave found in the Mualu Cave, which is one of the deepest and the longest caves in India. This stalagmite cave gave a clear indication of ways in which oxygen atoms changed, which is a proxy for climate, specifically precipitation, said Mike Walker, head of the working group on the subdivision of Holocene at the International Commission on Stratigraphy, ICS. The Meghalayan is the youngest age to be recorded and runs from 4,200 years to the present. The age is said to have begun with a destructive drought whose effect lasted for approximately 200 years. The drought severely destroyed civilizations in Egypt, Greece, Syria, Palestine, Mesopotamia, the Indus Valley, and the Yangtze River Valley. Several shifts in oceans and atmospheric circulation may have caused the disastrous drought. Due to the stalagmite found in the Mualu Cave in Meghalaya, the northeastern state is now part of geological history. Situated at an elevation of 1,290 meters, the condition in Mualu Cave have been suitable for preserving chemical signs of transition that have been highlighted by an analysis of stalagmite. The Meghalayan age is significant as it will be the first formal geological subdivision of the Holocene epoch. The Holocene epoch is the current age we live in and reflects everything that happened over the past 11,700 years. With the inclusion of the Meghalayan age, the Holocene epoch will now be formally subdivided into three ages of Greenlandian, North Gripian, and Meghalayan. Stanley Finney, professor of geological sciences at Long Beach State University, said that the Meghalayan age is unique among the periods on the geologic time scale, as its beginning coincides with a global cultural event produced by a global climatic event.
And with this, we come to the end of this edition of Northeast Diary. Do join us again next week, same day, same time, for more stories from this enchanting part of India. Until then, goodbye and do take good care of yourself.
This program was presented by Vinita Thakur and produced by Kumar Gaurav. It was brought to you by the News Services Division of Akashwani.